quarter.
Oh, that doesn't happen often.
So glad everybody is here this morning. I'm going to be reading a few scriptures. You don't turn over there, because if you do, it's real quick, and by the time you get over there, it'll all be done, and you're like, well, I kind of lost track of where we were at. What was that number, Nate?
820.
Okay, 820. So I'll tell you when it's time to flip over there. That way, too, if I'm wrong, you won't even know because you didn't look it up. So I was telling my brother Calvin, and for the last couple of days, I've been feeling a little bit under the weather, but I really enjoy the opportunity to preach. So I thought, I'm just going to keep on coming up here. And so I kept on going, and then this morning I took some medication and to kind of, you know, keep everything in place. And so I might start rattling a little bit. I might start all over the place, but fortunately I have Janine. And, so I look at Janine, and she'll either give me one of these, okay, or one like move it on or something. And she kind of indicates, okay, they're bored. Let's just keep moving forward. So appreciate that about her. Nate's lesson this morning was, I like Nate because he doesn't back away from anything. I mean, he said, what a blessing it is to have a child, but you do have to raise them. And I appreciated Nate's thoughts on that. He's so interesting too, you know. What are you going to have? I don't know. It's a kid. A kid. You know, a boy or girl? I don't know. It's a kid. I love Nate. He's just so down to it. Brittany's like, I know. I'm going to be on my own on that. So, so glad the visitors have come our way, and some of our members that have been gone have come back. Yeah, this little cold thing, I'm always reminded, don't go over there. 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, Paul says, and lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. That's what this thing is. It's trying to slow me down, and I'm not going to let it. It was interesting this morning because one of our visitors came, and I think she said her name's Melissa. I may not have that right, but her voice is kind of gone. And she's talking to a guy that can't hear very well in the first place. And so she said, and I'm sorry, what was that? And I felt like I needed to get one of those horn things, you know? And I'm sorry that I'm not talking to you guys. I'm going to be, if you want to talk, we'll fist pump and stay away from each other. I don't want to be responsible for giving you anything except the word. So I'm also a guy that tends to take a long time to get to the point. That's why Janine does this kind of stuff. And it's just who I am. I have a really short verse we're going to spend some time concentrating on. But before we do, I want to spend a little time in the fact that, you know, right now we have people that have been for months have been traveling to our nation, and they've come here looking for a better life. And I'm not going to discuss whether, you know, who's coming and whether they should or shouldn't or whatever. Many of them, though, I believe are coming because of where they have been and the opportunities that they have in front of them. And because of that, they've endured a lot of hardship and a lot of other things. And so it's fascinating to me because these people come here because of what they've never had and what they can have. And once they're there, many of them start to really, really appreciate it. Well, I think about myself, and I recognize that I've never really kind of done that with this nation as much, because I've never been without. You see, I've never had I've been to places. I know some of you have never... You haven't heard me talk, so I'll tell you some things that have happened in my life. I think life experiences are the best. I went down to Mexico to visit with some of our brethren down there, and I found out that the way that some of them got their water was there's a 50-gallon drum of water, and a truck comes by and puts it in, and that's their water. And if there's no such thing as a hot shower in that place. And so I came home after that trip. I told Janine if I ever complain again, you know, take a 2x4 and beat me up with it. So she took that to heart. I said, okay, stop doing that. But I also talked to a brother that had went to Africa, and those people were in such bad shape in Africa that they literally stake out the trash piles that are out there. And, they stake out the American trash. I actually talked to the member that told me that. He was actually in the military, and I said, well, do you guys give away waters or anything? He said, no, if we gave somebody a bottle of water, somebody else would beat them up or kill them to take it away from them. Mm-hmm. So they're not allowed to give them a bottle of water. Those kinds of things kind of help me appreciate where I'm at, you see, and the fact that I live in this nation that I do. I don't think I'm ever going to appreciate it as much as I should. I think, though, that those, you do see people in our nation that appreciate it, and so they're very offended when they see somebody that burns a flag. They're very offended when they see somebody that won't stand up for the national anthem. And again, we can discuss all that stuff later if you want. What bottom line is, they love their nation so much that they're very offended when people don't appreciate it the way they should. And so it's an interesting thing. I don't know how to change who I am. I'm working on it. I'm always trying to tell myself how lucky I am. But I'm living in a trailer right now in the driveway, so that's making it a little more difficult. But the reality is I do. I actually have to tell myself constantly that we live in that type of environment. We're very blessed in that. I'm going to read a quick verse. If you want to go there, you can, but it's in Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Verse 45, it's two sentences. That's why you might be better off to just listen. It said, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he has found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and he bought it. And I was thinking about that, and, you know, we all read that, and we read that very casually, and we never really take it to heart. And I was thinking about my appreciation of the kingdom of heaven, and the truth of the matter, it has never really been to that point. And I'm embarrassed by it. And I can't tell you exactly why. I can give you some reasons. I think part of that, and Nate had a, this morning in class, he was talking about John the Baptist and how honestly, his parents were probably the perfect parents to raise him. If you read it, it says that they were righteous and they were blameless. Mother and father. And so they were the perfect people to raise a child like John the Baptist that was willing to give his life up and live the life he lived just to declare Jesus Christ. My dad, when I got baptized, took us to Dairy Queen. And that's as far as it went. I never heard anything about appreciating the kingdom of heaven. I never heard anything about being a man of God. I never heard any of those things. And so I kind of, this morning, Janine and I were in the car and Anna was riding with us, and I just frankly told her, I talk to you a lot more than my parents ever did. And I thought that my father should have stepped up and said, Mike, you've now been baptized in the name of Jesus, not just for the remission of sins, but you're now part of the holy priesthood. You've been called out of darkness and proclaimed his mighty praises to men. That's your job. You're part of the kingdom of heaven. And here's the beauty of that. But he didn't do that. And I went on through life and some of the trials that came with it. And what happened was, instead of appreciating that I was part of the kingdom of heaven, I got concentrated on the things of this world, and I let those things overtake me. And I appreciated less and less. I never really did appreciate the kingdom of heaven. And it was late in my life. And again, I like to be very honest with people. Sometimes what happens is that if you're not really clear and candid, sometimes somebody says, well, do you think he was speaking to me, or do you, you know, what do you think he was trying to talk about? What's the point of that? Okay. If I'm speaking to you, I'll point at you. I'm just kidding. I won't do that. But I want you to understand that I think it's best to be a little bit more candid. And so I will. Nate was, you know, got to raise a child. It's a burden. Got it. I'm just teasing. I love Nate. Some of the things that you've seen in your life, and I know you've seen it too. I'm going to go back to my notes because, again, I'm a little foggy this morning. Is you see people that do appreciate the kingdom of heaven. And when you see that, I'm moved by that. Okay, over at Santee Church, there's a guy named Eric Borlaug, and he came to the Lord, I'm going to guess, 6, 7, 8 years ago. He appreciated the kingdom so much, he said, I want to teach it. I want to preach it. And I'm thinking about the kingdom of heaven is like a man that found a treasure hidden and he sold all that he had and he bought it. And I'm thinking of Eric, and he's like, okay, I've got this great treasure and I will share it with other people. And that's who Eric is. And I know another guy where we used to write, his name's Derek. And Derek is an individual that went, he grew up in a household that, the parents were doing drugs and all kinds of other issues and his life was terrible and he was in jail. And one day he started, reading the Bible and then eventually came to the church and he was baptized and he preaches the gospel where we are at. And he and his wife Amy, that's all they want to do is serve the Lord. And they appreciate being in the kingdom so much. This is one of the, I'm gonna say something and then you guys can talk to me later about it. I'm not gonna talk about it here. They appreciate the fact that they are in the kingdom of God so much that they sold all that they had, meaning that they were willing to give everything to be in it. He gave away his rights. His wife gave away her rights. They went into the Lord's kingdom and people were telling them, and I'm just gonna be candid with you, talk to me later if you want. And they were saying, you know, it's okay to have the use of alcohol in your life and be a Christian. And they looked at it, these two people, and said, is it best for the Lord's kingdom? And they said, no. And they put aside that right. And they recognized that that particular right could be devastating, not only to the Lord's kingdom, but their own brethren that were in the Lord's kingdom. There's a lot of things that we have to look at and ask ourselves, are we willing to sell all that we have to be in the Lord's kingdom? How important is it to be a part of the kingdom of heaven? And I can talk to you about that, but there's other things. So people are like, I love the Lord, except I'm splitting this weekend to go on vacation with some of my friends. I love the Lord, but I can't make it because I'm busy doing some other things. And it's fascinating and it's a hard sell to tell people that I love the Lord's church and the Lord's kingdom and then have that in my life. It's not honest. My dad used to say, do as I say, not as I do. That's like the worst statement in the world. If you're raising children, never say that to your children. Okay? You gotta live it if you're gonna try to teach them. And the reality is there's another man over there, and I find this guy actually is makes me more ashamed of myself. There's a man over there we used to go, and his name is Oscar Velasquez, and Oscar grew up in Mexico. And when he got a chance to come over here, he went to San Ysidro. Those of you that live in this area know San Ysidro is a pretty tough part of town. And people said to Oscar, San Ysidro, man, that's a bad part of town. And Oscar said, you grow up where I grew up. He said, you walk out your front door, you were in a gang. He said, you had to survive with the people in your neighborhood. Oscar was in a jail by the time he was 11 years old. This guy was a tough dude. Oscar was a tough dude. I can't even see Oscar without him giving me a hug. Amen. The life change is incredible. It's incredible who this guy is. Because he loves the kingdom of heaven. And he's given up everything to be a part of it. We used to leave over there, and his wife and children would be sitting in the car, as sweet as they could be, no animosity, and their dad's up talking to somebody about the kingdom of heaven. Amen. And we'd all be gone. And he'd still be there at 10 o'clock at night teaching the kingdom of heaven. And I thought to myself, I wasn't there. And I need to get there. Amen. And I wanted to share those thoughts with you this morning because the reality is that's the nature we're going to have if we're going to see ourselves with Jesus someday. What is it that the kingdom offers us? What is it about the kingdom that makes it so wonderful? I'm going to go to a couple of things right here. Let's go to, if you don't mind, go to 2 Timothy 1:7. 2 Timothy 1:7. Second says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind." God has given us not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. That's what's to be found in the kingdom of heaven. You know, we just recently studied in Obadiah, and we're talking about the Edomites, and we were talking about how they had so much confidence in who they were because they were in Mount Seir, hard to get at. They had their wise men, they had their wealth, they had their alliances, they had their great army. They felt secure. Their security obviously was temporary. We live in a nation where, maybe not right now, but for many, many years, we felt very secure. Like nothing can happen to us. And I don't know if something is going to happen to us or not at any time soon. But what I do know is the kingdom of heaven has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Amen. And when you get that, then you can almost appreciate those individuals that have had to leave other countries and they've come in here and they suddenly are able to live in peace and live knowing that this nation is behind them and they're protecting them. And so you kind of understand their thought process in this very temporary world that we live in.
If you can, turn with me to Acts 16. Acts 16. 23 through 25. I want to read something about some people that were in the kingdom of heaven and knew it. It's about Paul and Silas. In verse 23 of Acts 16, he says, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, and they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely, and having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison, and he fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." These were individuals that realized that they were in the kingdom of heaven. These were individuals that realized that they were living in a kingdom, that they were not in a kingdom of fear, but of power, of love, and sound mind. And it's fascinating when you think about, you have to almost take yourself and put yourself in their position. We read things so quickly. They were beaten. They were put down in the inner prison. Their feet were in stocks. And yet they were singing and praising God. Others were listening to them. If we understand the value of what we have, we will live lives in such a way that other people will see it and appreciate it through us. If we don't, they'll see that too. So when we start to tell them about how wonderful the kingdom of heaven is, but we don't exude that power and that love and that power, strong, that sound mind, that's do as I say, not as I do. And nobody's buying into it. So it's something that we want to consider and ask ourselves, what's it going to take to learn to value that? The best I can tell you is you're going to have to ask yourself, what would you do without this kingdom? What would you do if you were pushed out? See, you and I have never been in that position. When I tell you about this guy, Oscar, he has been there. Oscar knows what it's like to not be able to walk outside peacefully. And Oscar knew what it was like to not be in the kingdom of God. I wish you guys could all meet Oscar, because he would hug every one of you without even knowing you. I mean, the guy loves the Lord. And his children see it, and his wife see it, and everything about them. His wife, I think, has a smile permanently pasted on her face. They're so joyful to be in this country and be in this kingdom of heaven. And all they do is serve and serve and serve. And so when I say I'm embarrassed, I think, Mike, you started from here and you only got this far. He started from here and he got that far. I haven't. I've had trouble selling everything I had for this great treasure. And the problem is I think that what I want us to kind of get at, and Nate was kind of sharing that this morning, was it's going to take parents and people in the Lord's kingdom that have that kind of desire to be, have that spirit of heaven, to convince others, especially their children. I'm going to go to my three boys. I know you were waiting on it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I try not to put them in every sermon, but they're pretty good.
Amen.
They're pretty good. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, taken into captivity. Before they got there, they already knew who they were going to be. Somebody taught them. Now, maybe it wasn't their parents, but I'd be hard-pressed to say that wasn't the case. And they went into Babylonian captivity knowing who they were going to be and appreciating who they were and what they were part of, and basically saying, you are not going to convince us to not sell all that we have. They were willing to sell everything that they had. They were willing to sell their popularity. They were willing to sell their very lives to stay in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
They were the kind of people that were able to look at that greatest king in the world at that time and say, we are not going to bow down to your golden image, regardless of whether our Lord saves us or not. And I look at those guys and I look at my own life and I say, how many times was I not willing to sell what I had in the Lord's kingdom? And so this lesson is getting short, because the truth of the matter is that's it. It's a short verse with a powerful message. And that message is that each one of us needs to ask ourselves, have we sold everything we have for the kingdom of heaven? You know, one of these days, I've been living in this nation now for 60 years, and it's been pretty smooth. If you go back a little further, you could talk to some people, and maybe they went through the Great Depression. There's some things go back with our nation. When you look at God's people, they go in and out of trials. And sometimes the Lord allows them to be overtaken, as those Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We might find ourselves in that same position someday. My children might find themselves in a position that I've never had to experience. My grandchildren, my grandchildren's grandchildren, I don't know. But what I know is the thing that will make me the most proud is one of them says, I will not bow down to you.
Amen.
I asked myself as I was writing this lesson, wouldn't it be neat if I was up in heaven and one of my grandchildren said that to the greatest king at the time, knowing they'll be right there? I'll see you soon. I'm kind of ashamed. I'm a lot ashamed of how I handled myself in the Lord's kingdom. I'm getting better.
Amen.
And I'm working on it. And I hope each of you will do the same. A week ago last Wednesday, I did a lesson, and I said, and I'd heard this from another preacher, you got to listen to yourself first. If you won't listen to yourself, I'm not going to be able to get the words through to you. Sometimes you listen to yourself and you turn yourself off because you know, I don't want to hear that. Because it requires commitment. It requires change. You have to look at yourself and ask yourself, have you been the type of person that would sell everything you have for the Lord's kingdom? Have you appreciated it the way you should? And if you haven't, you have to ask yourself, what is it that you're hanging on to? And is it going to be worth it when our Lord and Savior returns?
Amen.
Yeah, if he needs it all, I ask that you'll come forward as we stand and sing.